Hello and welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church broadcast. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the deacons and Sunday school teachers. If this is the first time that you're joining us, you're very welcome, and I hope you find what we're discussing about today interesting and it helps you to formulate and strengthen your faith in everything you do. Before we go any further, let's play a little game. So I'm thinking of something and I'm going to give you five clues with five different points just for fun to see whether you can start thinking about the same thing. So for 5 points, I'm thinking of a piece of furniture. For 4 points, it has one or more legs. For 3 points, in most cultures, it is rude to sit on this thing. For 2 points, it has a flat top. Does that help? And for 1 point, you can eat from it. Or you can eat at it. So, were you thinking of a table? Because that is what I was thinking of and trying to get you to think of too. I hope you liked that. It was just for fun, so don't be too hard on yourself if you didn't get it. Okay, so we're continuing our discussion on the parables of Jesus, and today we're going to talk about 3 short parables. So, the kingdom of heaven. All these parables are about the kingdom of heaven. And the first one that we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. If you have your Bibles, you can open to that and read along with me. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and it says, Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scattered seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the head, and finally the head full of grain. When the grain is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle because harvest time has come." Okay, so this parable is about the growing seed. Again, Jesus is using commonly known things to tell a mysterious story that the people will understand. These 3 parables that we're going to talk about today were ones that either people really got it straight away, or they had to go away and think about it. So they were ones that at the end of it would make people think more about the things that Jesus had said. So they were specifically designed to be slightly mysterious in things that that they talk about. So we cannot really understand how the kingdom grows. Now, the kingdom is not a place like we talked about before. When we talked about the first kingdom of God parable, it is wherever God is king. Now, when we give our lives to Christ, we ask him to come into our hearts and to rule in our hearts. And that is what we are talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God. That how do people get to know and have more faith in God? How do they grow and start to allow God to take over more and more of their lives and achieve what he has made them to achieve? So here we saw a man growing seed, and that is Jesus. That may be Jesus coming out and talking to us and telling us about himself. It might be something that you read in the Bible, a song that you hear, or someone could speak to you about Jesus, and then they would be the man sowing the seeds. So it's either Jesus or it's either a person telling you their testimony or telling you about their faith. And really, a testimony is just someone telling you how they came to trust God and to let Jesus come into their hearts. It's not some amazing story. You know, it doesn't have to be anything complicated. It could really be something simple. So the seed that is sown is the word of God, and the soil is the heart of the hearer. So this tells us that once the gospel or the good news or the word of God is planted, it is not the sower's, it's not their purpose. It's not their right to go and keep digging up the soil and finding out whether that seed is still in there and whether it's growing. Once you've sown the seed, or once you've told somebody about your faith, it is not your business to go back and ask them, I told you about church last week. Why are you not going? Or why are you, you know, saying this, that, and the other? It is not your responsibility to go and to be checking up on the word that you sow into someone's life. There is a mystery to how this seed grows. And just like this man, the Bible says that he sleeps at night, he's up and about during the day, and all the while the seed is sprouting and growing, yet he does not know how it happens. We do not know how God helps people to have strong faith or to have good faith, or what gives them that conviction to finally change their lives, repent of their sins, and start following God and his purpose. We don't know how that happens. We can't even explain most of the time how we came to faith. We might have heard something, and like for me, for example, it wasn't a special message. I was just completely convicted that this was something I wanted to tap into, something I needed to learn more about. Because once that seed is planted in you, it has the power to grow and to mature. And there is nothing that we can do about it. It is a mystery of God on how he helps us to believe and to keep our faith strong. And sometimes we may have to speak faith to people that already know faith. It's wonderful when we all meet together as Christians to share our faith and to grow each other's faith and to tell other people what God is doing in your life so that you can help them to be strong and to stay strong in their faith. But how God uses that to speak into their heart, that is his mystery. And we cannot know how that happens. Right, so that is parable number 13. Parable number 14 that we're going to talk about is also in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and it's verse 30, and it's the parable of the mustard seed. And verse 30 to 32 says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade." Jesus preached this message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them. Right, so in this parable, there are a couple of things really that I need to sort of, or not maybe correct a little bit. The mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world, but it is the smallest seed that is used in the East that produces edible fruit. So, or fruit that can be used for something. So it wasn't that the Bible is wrong here. It's just that at that time, for the people that were listening to Jesus, this was the truth, that the mustard seed was the smallest seed, because that is what they had in that part of the world. And usually a mustard seed grows into a bush. It is not a really big and large tree. So why does Jesus say that it would be? Well, the thinking is that maybe Jesus meant that because of God's power in the mustard seed and in the seed of faith, that it could grow to be so much bigger than what is expected, that it could grow into a tree that would then be such a big influence to other animals and be such a big producer of other seeds. It could mean that. So here we recognize that the mustard seed is really, really small. And the tree that it grows in relation to its size is really, really big. Even if it's just a bush, that bush can be quite big, right? But as I said, that it's probably that Jesus meant that we could have supernatural growth of our faith that would influence so much more. There are other times when Jesus talked about the mustard seed, and he compared faith to be like a mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." So he is saying that if our faith, even though our faith may be really, really small, we still have power to move mountains. Of course, this doesn't mean going and standing in front of Mount Everest and asking it to move, or Ben Nevill in Scotland and asking it to move and get out of your way. But there could be things that are stopping you from achieving certain things that could be like mountains. They could be thinking things that stand in your way that stop you achieving the things that you want to achieve or going where you need to go. Fear could be a mountain in your life that stops you achieving the things that you could achieve. If you were fearful of exams, then you wouldn't want to take them. But that would stop you making progress in your education. So you really need to stand up to fear and show that your faith is bigger than that fear. And if you are feeling fearful, you can use the power of God to remove that mountain of fear and get it out of your life. That could be a way of interpreting that. Also, in Luke chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you." Again, you could spend hours standing in front of trees, telling them to move out of the way. But there could be something in your life that takes root and starts to grow and starts permeating other areas of your life. Let's say it was something like anger. If there was an incident that caused you to be angry and that was not resolved, it could very easily seep into other areas of your life. If you were angry at home, then if you let that anger take root and start growing, it'll be like a massive tree in your life that follows you and starts permeating other areas like your school life or your friendship and other relationships that you have. And although it had its root at home, it could actually start to affect all of your life. And by the power of God and having faith in Jesus, you can uproot that tree of anger and cast it off into the sea, as it says in Luke chapter 17. So this is how we can understand about the mustard seed. It starts off really, really small, and it grows and grows and grows to be so much more bigger compared to the actual seed that it started off as. And it can be, it can produce great things. It can be a home for birds, and it can provide shade. And it also produces a whole lot more trees within it because it's got thousands and thousands of seeds. And those seeds can all have the potential to be trees. So when we have, Jesus is really, really dramatic here in that he is saying this tiny little seed can grow into such a big thing. And our faith can be such a small thing, but it can grow into a really, really big thing that can influence lots of other people. The other things that we know about the mustard seed is that when it is planted in the ground, if the conditions around it are not right for germination, it can lay dormant in the ground for many years. It can wait and wait and wait until it's got enough nutrients and the temperature outside is high enough for it to start growing. And it can do that for many years. So sometimes we have to be patient. When our faith is small, sometimes we just have to be patient and wait on God and wait for the conditions to be right and know that in that time, God is protecting us and he's keeping us safe just for the right time to start growing. So don't be in a rush to grow your faith. Don't be in a rush to move on and get things done. Sometimes God is keeping you safe by hiding you under the soil for the moment. When the mustard seed grows into a bush, it is very, very difficult to kill. Even fire will not kill a mustard tree. So other plants, if there was a bushfire, other plants around the mustard seed might be killed off. But the mustard tree is really, really strong and really resilient. And sometimes our lives are like that. Sometimes our lives can be tough. And there can be things that feel as if everything is firing at us and throwing arrows at us and attacking us. But we really have to have strong faith and we have to hold on and be deeply rooted in God and God's word and not be moved or destroyed by anything. Another thing that we know about the mustard plant is that it doesn't need a lot of tending to grow. It doesn't need pampering. It doesn't need watering all the time. It is really quite self-sufficient. A farmer who is growing a mustard seed does not have a lot of work of looking after it and weeding it and all of that. It is a strong, resilient plant. And sometimes we have to do that. We can't wait for church to start back up to build our faith. We can't wait for things to go back to normal, and then we will do something. We need to be strong in our faith right now. We need to be able to find the resources that we need to be strong in our faith and not be waiting for, because NDP is not working, or because we're not going to church, then we let our faith slide or we let our faith be weak. We have to maintain a strong faith in God, even when we're not being watched over and we're not being pampered or being taught at Sunday school all the time. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, this was Paul talking, and he was talking about the time when he was going to different cities and preaching the word of God. And then he would sort of plant a word of God in people's hearts. And then another preacher would come and encourage people again in the same way. And then a third person might come and do more work on those people. But with all of this that was happening, it was God who gave the increase. It was God who changed people's hearts and God who made them believe in all that was being taught. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul was saying here, each of us does the work that the Lord gives us to do. I planted the seed. Apollos, who was another preacher, watered the plants, but it was God who made the plant grow. And that is the same with our faith. It's not up to, you can't give the credit to the people that speak into your life. It's God that works in your heart to turn your heart and to make you have strong faith. And it's also God that will help the people that you want to be Christians to change their mind and start walking in that light. You cannot make people become Christians. They have to want to do it. And it's a mystery that God touches their heart and helps them. You can water, you can say encouraging things to them, and you can help them along the way. But ultimately, the responsibility is by God. So don't feel like, oh, this person that I'm waiting to become a Christian is taking forever. God, it's his responsibility to finish the job and to help that person believe in him. So we see from this that the kingdom of God is amazing in the way that it grows and that it goes beyond anything that we've seen before. Okay, and then the last parable that we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. Just one verse, but I'll read a couple of the other verses as well. In verse 33, this is the parable of the yeast. And Jesus told them, and still another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with a bushel of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. In verse 34, it says, Jesus used parables to tell them all these things to the crowd. He would not say a thing to them without using a parable. He did this to make come true what the prophet had said. I will use parables when I speak to them. I will tell them things unknown since the creation of the world. So just from that one simple verse, Jesus is talking about using yeast to make bread. Now, I don't know how much you know about baking, but when you're making bread, you have dough and you mix it with water and whatever other things you're putting in there. And then you use about 1/10 of the mixture. You take 1/10 of yeast, which is a really, really small amount. And whichever part of the dough you put it in and cover it up, the warmth of the dough starts to make the yeast grow. And that makes the dough rise. And it can rise to about 4 times its original size. Now, when this happens, it adds some air bubbles within the dough. And that's what makes the bread really light when we are eating it. The yeast is really, really important in making dough. If you don't use dough, if you don't use yeast, then the dough will be really thick and stodgy and sit heavy in your stomach, and you don't really want that. So this parable is talking about Christianity. Because Christianity had really, really small beginnings. It was formed out of one person, Jesus Christ. And what this is telling us is that our faith can grow into a really big phenomenon. And Christianity really grew from one person into a worldwide community of believers. There are about approximately 2 billion Christians today, or people that confess to being Christians. And the effects of Christianity and its greatness and impact on the world can be seen all around the world. There's no continent that Christianity has not touched. And it's only waiting for every person to at least have the chance to have heard about Jesus and to be given that opportunity to come into his kingdom before he returns again. Because sometimes we can feel that, oh, I'm the only Christian in my family, or I'm the only Christian in my school, or I'm the only one in my class. But really and truly, God has faithful followers throughout the whole world. And your faith can join up with the faith of others and accomplish great things. So just like that yeast, a small amount of yeast will permeate the whole dough of bread, so your faith can reach far out to touch lots of other people. And we are a whole church of believers, so we should be a lot more effective in reaching people than Jesus did, because we also have technology that we can use now to reach people all across the world. And we should use our faith and the technology that God has given us to reach other people and encourage them and to join our faith with theirs to do great things for God. Right, so those are the three parables that we're going to talk about today. I hope you found them interesting. And I do hope that as you go back to school for another week, tomorrow, that you are blessed and that God uses you mightily to accomplish great things. Right, so do take care and be careful out there until we see each other again. God bless you. Bye.